If you want to see how important music is to the Lord, just go to the Bible. There's a whole book in the book of Psalms. If you go about it, just go and read the book of Psalms alone and see how important it is that we lift our voices to God. The word says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen? This morning, first of all, I want to say good morning again. And I'm sorry, it seems like I'm mean to our teenagers. That's just because I love them. And I tell my kids all the time, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't pick on you. So I love our young people. And also, I didn't say this. Just because you may not haven't been on Wednesday nights, if you're a young person here tonight and you want to be a part of our youth group, the door is open. Invite your friends. They know to invite their friends. I harass them about that all the time. But it's open. That's what we want. I hope one day that we have to, you know, have youth group in here on Wednesday nights because there's so many teenagers coming. So praise God for that. Anyways, I just want to say that. Make sure that everybody knows that they're welcome on that. Matthew chapter 5. Let's go back there. We are going to finish up our series today, our little short series, which didn't seem real short, but how to be blessed. This is part five of five. So this is the last part of the Beatitudes. We're going to finish up the Beatitudes, but I also want you to go to Acts chapter 7. So if you want to find Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to go down to verse 10, and we're going to finish up the Beatitudes, and then also find Acts chapter 7. While you're doing that, this journey through the Beatitudes has taken us five Sundays, but I hope you have learned as much as I have. We've learned that God blesses us when we're what? When, first of all, he told us that when we're poor in the spirit, when we realize our desperate need to be saved from our sin. We've also learned that God blesses those who mourn. When we mourn for those things that separate us from God, what is it in our life that we need to just do, just like Jesus talked about when the guy just sat in the back of the church and he beat his chest for the sin that was in his life? We're blessed when we get to that point where we mourn over the sin in our life. And we've learned that God wants to, that he will bless us for being meek and humble. And we rely on God and we remain humble when we're just like Jesus and we strive to be like him, gentle at heart. When we resist the temptation to let pride creep into our life, the Bible promises us that we are blessed. We also learn that when God blesses us who hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we desire down deep in our heart to live a life that is pleasing to God, to stand up for what is right. And we've learned that God blesses us when we give mercy to other people. It may be something physical, it may be something spiritual, it may be something that you just forgive somebody. But remember, we talked about when mercy is when you step into action. It's not just having compassion for somebody and feeling sorry for someone and giving them grace. It's actually stepping up and saying, you know what? Not only am I going to feel sorry for them, but I'm going to do something to help it. That's what Jesus did on the cross. We've also learned that God blesses us when we're pure in the heart. When we allow God to start leading our life, just like BJ was talking about, when the Holy Spirit comes a part of our life, what really starts happening when the rubber meets the road is when we start listening to the Holy Spirit. When we start listening, we say, man, that little small voice in our heart that says, don't go down that road, stay away from that, or go forgive that person, or go pray with that person. It doesn't always have to be stay away from sin. It could be maybe God's leading us in a new direction, or to step out on faith. And when we really start to become blessed by God is when we start listening to that Holy Spirit in us. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. And then lastly, we talked about the blessed are those who are peacemakers. And these are the people who are actively resisting the urge to be troublemakers, and they're actively working to make peace, not only with other people, but between themselves and God and other people and God, doing their part to make peace. Well, if this all seems like too much for you and you're overwhelmed this morning, how in the world am I going to get all this? I have to warn you that Jesus saves the best for last this morning. Today we're going to see where Jesus teaches us that God blesses us when we are persecuted. Now how in the world does this make any sense? No wonder people don't want to come to church. No wonder people don't want to read their Bible. Because they look at that and they say, what in the world? Well, let's find out. We're going to go right to the Word. We're going to read it. And then I'm going to try to hopefully explain how I look at it anyways. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and if you've got Acts chapter 7, just keep your, you know, put your bulletin there or something and mark that, because we're going to end with that. But Matthew chapter 5, and we're just going to go straight to verse 10 to save time, right? We're going to go 10, 11, and 12. It says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Actually, it has an exclamation. It probably says, be happy about it. Rejoice, be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So many times we read this and we forget that any true follower of the Lord, and if you look back through history, somewhere in their life they were persecuted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, I just thank you for another opportunity. Lord, another opportunity to come and to look at your perfect word and to preach about your grace and your mercy and to preach about your truth. Lord, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for everyone who's gathered here today. And I just pray, God, that we would find that place today where not only we learn something from your word, not only do we hear something that maybe touches our heart or whatever, not from me, but from you, but God, where we take it and we apply it in our everyday walk. When we apply it with the situation that we walked in here with this morning, the situation that we try to cover up on a daily basis, whatever it is we're going through, Lord, that when we take your word and we take your truth and we apply it to our life, and we really believe, like we taught the children, that you are the source of all comfort, and we walk it out, that's where we start to see the blessings of God. So, Lord, that's my prayer today, that we would take what we were going to learn, that we take what we read in your word, and we apply it to our life. Because that's when other people will see your light shining through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we sit here and we think about our problems in life, there's a man in North Korea in a prison camp who's shaken awake after being beaten unconscious, just so the beatings can begin again, all because he's a Christian. Today, as we sit here with complaints about what we don't like in the church or what we don't like about somebody that we work with or whatever, there's a woman in Nigeria running for her life. You see, she escaped from her kidnapper and she returns home to her village only to find out that they too have rejected her and want her dead, all because she's a follower of Jesus. Today, as we sit here in freedom, taking it for granted, there's a woman in India who watched her sister being dragged off by a bunch of Hindu nationalists. Day and night, she wonders what's happening to her sister. What's her sister going through? Is she still even alive? Did you know that over 260 million Christians are living in places where they are heavily persecuted? Just last year, it's estimated that almost 3,000 Christians were killed, just in 2019, because of their faith. Over 9,400 church buildings or other buildings used for the gospel were attacked or destroyed. Almost 4,000 Christians have been detained and thrown into prison without a trial, just because of their faith. All this, and it's just a drop in the bucket. And Jesus tells us to be happy about persecution. He's got our attention this morning. Jesus expects us to believe that we are blessed when we are persecuted. How in the world do we wrap our brain around that? How does this make any sense? Look it back at verse 10 and 11 and look what he says. I'm going to read it again. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. I think to really understand this, the first thing we have to look at, and we have to say, what is he talking about? What does he really mean when he's talking about being persecuted? When Jesus talks about being persecuted in this scripture right here, when the Bible talks about being persecuted, he's talking about enduring suffering, okay? But he doesn't stop there. He's talking about enduring suffering for Christ because of your faith. He's not talking about your car broke down, you had a flat tire on your way to work, you've had a string of bad luck. That's not persecution, okay? Persecution is enduring suffering because you are an unashamed Christ follower. You're unmovable in your faith. to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be criticized. You don't have to be beaten. It could be just somebody just talking bad about you. That'll wear on you sometimes more than the physical beatings. To be ostracized, to be thrown out, to be cast aside, to be treated with hostility, or maybe even to be martyred or to be killed. So why is it that Christians are persecuted? Why in the world, why is it that these things happen? Why do people want to persecute people for their faith in Jesus Christ? What is it that makes us want, or them want to do that? Here's a faith that teaches about a loving God who only wants the best for all creation. So why in the world would someone imprison somebody? Why would somebody be hostile to somebody? Why would someone want to kill someone who believes something so beautiful? Well, it's because the God who loves us and the God who gave his son for us, he also wants he wants the best for us. But he loves us enough that he holds us accountable. And see, that's what the world doesn't like. He holds us accountable to our sin. And why does he do that? He made a way. Now look, he made a way for us to be forgiven. We know that. That's what we talk about every Sunday. At every sermon, we almost end with that. He made a way through Jesus Christ for us to be forgiven. But God also expects us to repent of our sin. The Bible is just equally as clear on that. It's not queer, it's clear. But God expects us to repent of our sin and strive to live a life that is pleasing to him. That's what he wants for us. And now, he doesn't do that to restrict us so we won't enjoy our life. He does that because he knows the sin that we desire and that we so easily fall into. It leads to what, church? It leads to death. Just like a parent that holds their disobedient child accountable. This is what God does with us. So again, why does the world persecute Christians? Well, here's the short of it. Because a real Christian that walks out their faith, they don't conform to the world, but they're transformed by the renewal of their mind and the change, and they let God control them. What they do is they shine light into the darkness of the evilness in this world. Just by living their life. They shine light into the darkness. And when they do that, what they're really doing is they're revealing how evil the world really is. Think about it. If a person who lives a humble life and is striving to be pure at heart, if a person really hungers and thirsts for righteousness, not on Sunday mornings, but every day, their life and their actions actually expose the evilness in the world and expose the evilness in those around them. I can't tell you how many times, not because I'm holier than thou or anything, just because I carry the title of pastor. I'll be at work or I'll be out or whatever and somebody will say a cuss word and they'll look at me and they'll say, I'm sorry about that. And I said, brother, you don't have to apologize to me. It's not me you need to be worried about. It's not me that you need to ask forgiveness from. I'm just a sinful man like you. Ephesians 5, verse 10 through 14 says this. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Listen to what Paul goes on to say here. Instead, expose them. Now, he's not talking about going around, look, that person's sinning, that person's doing that. He's talking about living it out. Live out your life and live for righteousness. Live a life that is pleasing to God. And doing that, you will expose the sin in the world. It is shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. This is right in the Bible. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. When we really live for Christ, what it does is it reveals the evilness in the world. It reveals the evilness in those unbelievers that are around us. John chapter 15, verse 19. Listen to what it says here. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. Are you listening to that, church? Who do we belong to today? Do we belong to the world or do we belong to Christ? The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But he goes on to say this, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. It hates you. You remember three characters with names that are so easy to get mixed up called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I used to say Radshack and whatever. Anybody ever heard those names? What did they do? When they refused to bow down and worship a statue of the king, where did they end up? They ended up in the furnace. But you know what? It was in that place where, guess what? They got to see the glory of God and they got to see God fight for them. And I'm not going to get to the end of my sermon yet. Church, the same is true today. When a believer refuses to do what is unethical and wrong at work, you know what it could do? It could cost the company its profits. It could cost the company its money. When you cost a company your money, their money, you're probably going to cost you your job. When a believer refuses to tell a lie to cover for a friend, or maybe the believer refuses to withhold the truth that a friend needs to hear in their life, it could result in that relationship coming to an end. When a believer in the Middle East, or maybe in North Korea or some other country where there's heavy persecution, follows Christ boldly, they may end up beaten in prison or even dead. When you obey what God wants instead of what the religious leaders want you to do, you know whether you're going to end up? You might end up hanging on a cross. But the point is this. Persecution should be expected in a true Christ follower's life. Now, this isn't meant to discourage you this morning. It's meant to make you really think about, who are you living for, the world or for Christ? Because the Bible told us, Jesus just told us, the world's going to hate you if you really stand for Christ. John chapter 15, verse 18. This is Jesus talking again. He says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. That's what Jesus said. They hated me first. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Here's Paul talking. He says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if we could lose our job for following Christ and doing what we know is right, if we could lose our tax exemption from the government because we're not going to move from the Word, if we could lose certain friends in our life, if people can insult us and speak unkindly about us and whisper about us behind our back and make fun of us, if we could be thrown into a daggum furnace that was so hot that it killed the guards when they were throwing them in there, why would Jesus say that God blesses us when we're persecuted? Let's go to verse 12 and let's read it again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12 says this, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. That's where we go like this, church. Everybody go like this. A great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, we're not alone. The ancient prophets were also persecuted in the same way. And guess what? I bet if you went up to heaven right now and you asked somebody that was beaten to death because of their faith, or somebody who was thrown into prison, and now they're up there worshiping Christ, I bet every second of it was worth it. And I bet also that it was just like a glimpse, just a little second in time compared to the experience they're having in eternity. Be happy about it. Rejoice. Be glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. You see, it all goes back to testing our faith. Everybody ever read the book of Job? Everybody ever heard that story? Do I really believe that the world is not my home? Do I really believe that God is who we sing about and we hear about every Sunday? Do we really believe what we say we believe? That's what it all goes back to. I often think myself, what would I do in the face of persecution? What would I really do if someone had a knife to my throat? What would I do if my boss came to me and said, you're going to lose your job if you don't do this, this, this. And I know it's against what God wants me to do. I feel the Spirit stirring me. Whatever the situation is, what would I really do when I was pushed into a corner? Do I have enough faith? Do I have a strong enough relationship with Jesus to where I can stand strong? Do I have enough peace in my heart to be okay with it and say, okay, God, I'm getting ready to lose my job. I might be getting ready to lose my life, but it's okay, God. You got this. See, to really stand firm in our faith, to stand firm face to face with persecution. Oh, man, there's so many people in the Bible that endured suffering. You can't go through the Bible. You can't go through one book in the Bible without finding somebody who's been treated bad. There's so many Christians today that are enduring suffering right now, just like we talked about. I read those stories on the internet this week. Everybody knows the internet's got to be true, right? But seriously, this was on a website that on the people that go and they help and they serve in these countries. So this is, I believe it's true. And I know it's true. I've been to some of these countries where some of these things happen. If you want to see some real soldiers for Christ, I want you to go this week and I want you to read the fifth chapter of Acts. Go home today and read Acts chapter 5. And I'm going to give you a quick little synopsis of what we see here. Peter and the apostles, they're thrown into jail for preaching about Jesus. Just dragged off and thrown into prison. But if you look, they go through this experience during this persecution. And if you really look at what they got to experience, they got to see an angel of the Lord come down from heaven and swing open the prison door for them. I don't know about you, but I'd go sit in prison for a while if I got to see an angel come down and bust me out. They got to see God's faithfulness. They got to see. And that's what I want you to understand too. They didn't go home and then go, "Woo, that was a close one. Let's go home and keep it safe. Let's go home and let's go hide in the closet so that doesn't happen again." If you read the story, this is what they did. They went right back to the temple and they started preaching Jesus, and only to get arrested again. These are the guys who were totally sold out, and they believed what they said they believed, and they walked it out. Then they go before the high council, who wanted to throw them back in prison again. And eventually someone stood up for them and they eventually set them free. But not just set them free. They sent them out front and they got them flogged and they got beat. And they told them, they said, "Don't ever let us catch you preaching about Jesus again." And the Bible tells us that Peter and the apostles, they left. And after being arrested, after escaping from prison, after being arrested again, then beaten and flogged, the Bible says that they left singing and rejoicing because they got to suffer for Christ. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to comprehend. Saying, "Oh Lord, thank you for letting me get beaten for you." Think about it. And then the Bible says that they left singing and rejoicing because they got to suffer for Christ. You see, while they were singing and rejoicing, they got to see an angel bust them out of prison. They got to see God stand up for them. You see, when we suffer for Christ, we actually are blessed because we actually get to see God fighting for us actively right then. I want to share with you what I believe this morning. Now, I want you to understand something. This is where my opinion comes in, okay? And so I'm not up here to preach my opinions, okay? But this is just, as your pastor, this is what I believe. I believe, it doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's straight from the Bible or anything. It's just what I feel in my heart. I believe that when someone is persecuted, maybe beaten, maybe they're rejected by somebody, maybe they're mocked, maybe they're killed, I believe that you are closer to God in those moments than you could have ever been before. Why do I believe this? Let's go to Acts chapter 7. If you've got that marked, let's read that. Now, this is Stephen, the story of Stephen. Many of us might know this. Stephen is standing before the high council and he's addressing them and he's not holding anything back. He's giving them both barrels. And listen, we're going to go down to verse 51. So find Acts chapter 7, verse 51. We don't have time to read the whole story. Go home and read it. But this is where the rubber meets the road right here at the end. Verse 51, it says this. This is Stephen talking to the high council. He says, "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, who you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." I love verse 54. It goes on to say this. "The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations and they shook their fist at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed steadily into heaven and he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, 'Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man is standing in the place of honor at God's right hand.' Then they put their hands over their ears, and they began shouting." I picture a little kid, "La, la, 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 la." They didn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. They put their hands over their ears and began shouting, and they rushed at him, and they dragged him out into the city, and they began to stone him. His accusers took off their coat and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later became Paul. As they stoned him, listen to this, church. Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knew what his heavenly reward was, church. "Receive my spirit." He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. I don't know about you, church, but I don't know who could be beaten to death and say, "God, forgive those," other than Jesus, and say, "God, forgive them. Don't hold them accountable for what they're doing to me." It's not humanly possible unless you are full of the Holy Spirit. Unless God is with you in that moment, there is no way in our flesh that we could do that. Because it's in our natural reaction to love ourselves and to protect ourselves. Stephen spoke the truth from God, and it cost him his life. But guess what? In this moment, what did the scripture say? It didn't say Jesus was up there on a recliner looking down at him. It said Jesus stood up for him. Jesus was standing watching what was going on. Jesus was saying, "I got this, Stephen. I see what you're going through. But look what you have waiting for you." Jesus stood up for him. Jesus stood up for Stephen. Church, when we allow Jesus to be on our side, it doesn't matter whether we're being stoned to death, whether we're being persecuted, whether we're going through a trial. Anything the world throws at you is absolutely nothing. It's absolutely nothing compared to the King of Kings, compared to the one who said he has all authority over heaven and earth. He's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. He defeated the grave. See, when you're under attack for following what God tells you to do and you fall on your knees and you focus on eternal things, you focus on that reward that Jesus promises us, you're suddenly able to endure a little more suffering. You're suddenly able to look past the people who are trying to get in your way of what God wants to do. Why? Because you experience that closeness with God that you never would have experienced if you weren't going through that rough time. When things are going good, we just forget all about God, don't we? But when things are going bad, man, we hit our knees in a hurry. And we really find our dependence there. And we really find out where our help comes from. It's in those times when you stand with God that you find that God will stand with you. Are you listening this morning, church? It's the times that you stand with God that you really see God stand for you. When Jesus says that you are blessed when you are persecuted, this is what he means. Simple as that. I believe that when Stephen was being beaten to death in the streets by those stones, think about that awful death. I believe he actually could see into heaven. That's what I believe. You know why? Because the Bible, that's what it says. And I believe, and this is what makes it possible for us as believers, and believers all over the world right now who are being beaten or persecuted because of their faith, that's what makes it able them able to endure the suffering for Christ. I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and we know this and we say it so often and we see it on coffee mugs and bumper stickers, but this is what the Bible tells us. What shall we say about such wonderful things? And this is when Paul is talking about nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about it. If God is for us, who can be against us? I don't know where you are today in your walk with the Lord. I don't know. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord. This invitation is for you today to come. Maybe there's something in your life that you know you're getting ready to have to deal with, and you're saying, "I don't know, but if I take this stand, if I share this truth, if I do this, what is going to happen to me?" You go back to the promise that Jesus gives us, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, and you go back and you see and you look at things from eternal perspective. Maybe you are being persecuted. Maybe you've already taken a stand and God and the world's hating on you right now. And you feel like the world's closing. I love that song, "This is how I fight my battles." Because he says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And he's talking about God. Church, the devil wants you to think that you're surrounded. You have no hope. But don't forget that you are surrounded by the God of all creation. The God who raised Christ from the dead is on your side. Amen? Don't think you have to be martyred or killed, imprisoned or beaten in a foreign country to be considered being persecuted. If you're dealing with persecution this morning, you need to be boastful this morning to God. You need to thank God. You know what? Because that means that God is working in your life, and God is saying, you know what? You're worthy. You're worthy of putting up with some of this. Because guess what? He's growing you for the next step for what He wants you to do. That's a tough topic. But if you're here this morning, you've never experienced any persecution. You've never experienced any resistance from the world. You have to go back and you have to ask yourself, am I really living for Christ? That's a tough question too. It's a tough question for me to stand in front of you as your pastor and ask you. And for me to ask myself, am I really a Christ follower? Because if I am, Jesus Himself said, you will be persecuted. And it could be in the small things, it could be a big thing. Either way, it's one of those things that kind of reveals how we're living. Are we living for the world or are we living for Christ? But I don't want you to leave here discouraged today to think that, oh my goodness, I'm not going to accept Jesus because everything's going to go horrible for me. That's not what I'm telling you this morning. I'm telling you this to encourage you that no matter what the world throws at you, God will stand up for you. Amen? God is the God of all comfort. And He gave us His promises, and He, just like we talked about last week, He's not a man. He doesn't forget His promises. And He's not like us. He doesn't forget about people. He doesn't forget to make contact with friends. Oh man, shoot, I meant to reach out to this person this week. He doesn't do that. God knows us. He loves us. He created us. He has a purpose for us. If you don't believe that, go home and read Psalm 139. He loves us, and He protects us, and He watches out for us. And if nothing else, no matter what the world does to us here on this earth, we have a heavenly reward awaiting for us in heaven. Amen? If you need prayer this morning, maybe you just want to pray for somebody who's being persecuted. Maybe you want to pray for something for God to fight your battles this morning, something you're going through, whatever it is. If God is calling you this morning, as we sing, let's do it. Let's pray. Let's pray and let's give it to God and let Him fight our battles. Amen? Whatever God is calling you to this morning, hymn number 134, Jesus paid it all. Come as we sing.